If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Got our man Eddie Gonzalez in the building. The playback god himself. Eddie Gonzalez, what's up, man?
Man, I'm trying to be, man. I'm trying to get active on here, talk to the people a little more. And you know, we caught a show on Playback No Narratives because I do a lot of like clapping back at narratives, especially about the homies, obviously. If you say something crazy about Kay and something said crazy was said today, so I'll be back on there later talking.
What was said today? What was said today? I missed this one.
So there's a Chris Mannix report that essentially says he thinks Kevin wants to be in Houston. And I give Chris Mannix credit. He said it as in, it's just his thoughts. Mm-hmm. He's not saying this is what Kevin thinks. Mm-hmm. But again, it comes into a story now. And now you got local Phoenix media talking about it. It's like, see, I told you. And I know from talking to the man himself, first of all, he wants to be in Phoenix. Second of all, he does not have like this list of mythical teams he wants to be a part of. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the Houston, all of the Houston noise, I say, is overblown as far as, oh, Kevin and Ime have a healthy respect for each other. Of course they do. You could say the same thing about Eric Spoelstra. You could say the same thing about Doc Rivers. You could say the same thing about J.J. Redick. Mm-hmm. That doesn't necessarily mean, oh, Kevin's pining to be in Houston so he can be on that team, this, then, and the third. I'm going to say the same thing I said on Playback earlier this week, when people were essentially accusing them of quitting and giving up on the team. If Kevin wanted to be a Rocket, he could have been a Rocket at the deadline. Mm. If he wanted to be a Rocket that bad, he could have pushed the button, the superstar button, and said, you know what? You and I both know Houston made an offer. Mm. You and I both know it matches. Mm-hmm. Just do it. And he didn't. So, again, this is why we call the show No Narrative, because I'm probably pop up and talk about that a little bit more in depth. And I told y'all before, my phone still be working. Everybody still be texting me back. Apparently, nobody's tripping off me saying whatever I got to say. So that's just my thing. But again, credits to Chris Mannix because he said himself, this is just my thoughts. Okay. I'm not saying this is what Kevin's saying. And my message about Kevin is always, y'all don't got to try to predict what Kevin thinks. He usually get on Twitter or get in front of the media and just tell y'all. Mm-hmm. He did the same at the deadline. He's done the same a bunch since then. And so I think if I was Kevin, if I was one of his trusted advisors, my advice to him would be wait and settle. It doesn't matter right now if you want to go somewhere or don't. You literally can't wait until the offseason if you have any preferred destination or whatever. We don't even know what these teams are going to be. Dallas looked like a great destination 3 weeks ago. Kyrie might not play till All-Star, if that, next year. Mm-hmm. Is that a great destination now? I don't know. You know what I mean? So we don't know what's going to happen in the next 2 months of basketball. So I would preach just be patient. We're going to see. Maybe Phoenix turns it around. Maybe, you know, whatever. Yeah. And I would say that's pretty closely in line with the way he's thinking.
The Chris Mannix.
Your boy.
It's not necessarily my boy all. But he brought up – I heard him the other day, and he brought up a good point. Talking about Phoenix – talking about Ishbia's this, you know, interview last couple weeks ago or whatever, talking about he didn't want Devin Booker. And he said, or he didn't want to trade Devin Booker, but he said, Maddox put it in a way that I thought was pretty interesting and probably pretty accurate. He's like, Devin Booker is too old to win a championship in Phoenix. And the way he said it is, it's not that he can't win a championship somewhere. He's specifically too old to win one in Phoenix, because if you tear it down, he's, what, 29 years old. By the time you build it back up, you're looking at a 30-something-year-old Devin Booker. And the build-up, he, like, it would already passed him up a little bit. And I thought that was an interesting way of looking at it. I didn't think about it that way. But you think he's right about that?
I would say this, and it's not necessarily in relation to Book, even though it kind of is. It was Tatum's birthday a couple weeks ago. He turned 27. So we're texting, we're laughing about him. Like, dang, you an OG now. Like, you an old head. And he was like, man, like, I'm like a real vet. You know, we can't even make the 21-year-old Jason Tatum joke no more. That was my one of my favorite Twitter jokes. It's like, nah, you really like third contract old. Like, there's a whole new group of superstars younger than you. And another emerging group younger than that. Like, you really an old head. And Book is older than him. So I think he's right in the assessment of, like, he's basically talking about team building. And team building in the NBA kind of now is like it is in NFL. We either got our superstar edge rusher on his rookie deal, or we got our quarterback on his rookie deal. That's going to make our easiest path to that. Now, unless our quarterback is then top three quarterback on his big deal, okay, then we build around him. We do whatever it is. The Eagles are a funny middle ground, but you got Javon Carter on his rookie deal. You got this team you've strung together. You got guys who haven't get raises yet, and they win a championship. That's kind of where the NBA is headed. We need you while you're not making $60 million, because then we can put people around you. When you're making $60 million, we're going to have to strip it down a little bit, and we're going to have to go from there. And the Suns are in that predicament where they have three dudes making $50 million, and obviously we're seeing the results of that with this team now.
I saw the Celtics owner, the one who's selling, talking about that on WEEI today. That he's
big,
like,
WEEI fan, Damian Barber.
No, it was on social media. and we know what a big social media fan I am. But it was he was talking about he was like, it's not the money. It's the basketball restrictions. Like, if you have a contender, if you have a team that can win a championship and you're competitive, you'll pay the $500, $600, $700 million, whatever those tax penalties are. If you think you can win year after year, you'll pay that.
Oh, yeah.
What happens now, though, with the second apron are the basketball restrictions that come into play that hamper your team from really being able to adapt year to year and get better. And that's what's turning people away from it.
I mean, look, at the Suns are a perfect example. This past deadline is a perfect example. You know why the Lakers are able to cobble together a deal for Luka Doncic? Because they were smart enough to remain under the apron and could combine contracts and could have that limited amount of flexibility. You know why the Suns probably weren't able to get rid of Bradley Beal? It's because they couldn't combine assets. It's a one contract out situation for them only, and they don't have picks to continue to do that. And then, so it's not only those restrictions like that. You can't add MLE guys. If a guy is bought out and it makes a certain amount of money, you can't buy him. You can't now give him a contract. There's all these different restrictions, and then you start getting iced out draft picks. Yeah. Look, these owners are rich, and they're making money off these teams. There's revenue coming in from these teams regardless. They're not these stingy baseball owners who just don't want to pay. Like, they're willing to – besides like the bottom three salaries in the league, everybody else is pretty much willing to pay if it's going to be a good team. Matt Ishbia is willing to pay. If he could buy an $800 million roster, he would. He'd put everybody on the team. But they will become restricted by a lot of that. And then it's the same thing going on with the Celtics. The Celtics are willing to pay their guys. They got two supermaxes. But we have to have a team around that as well. We have to have draft picks. We have the flexibility if we want to make a move. The Celtics are a team that was cobbled together with trades. Now, imagine if they can't go get Drew for multiple contracts and can't go get Porzingis for multiple contracts. Where are they at now? And so in some assets, in some facets, the CBA is working. It's making everybody kind of level the playing field as best they can. They're not cheap. They're just restricted.
Do you like it? Because I don't. I don't like the CBA. And I'm sitting here trying to figure out when is the first opt-out. They have a mutual opt-out in 28-29. So we're here for at least the actual contract is 29-30. So it's basically at the end. I don't like what the Boston owner was talking about with Joe Lacob and those guys. The basketball restrictions are the things that is frustrating for me, because it just seems like it's difficult to build a team regardless of how you get the players, whether it's through the draft or, you know, whatever. You can't build a team that you can sustain, it feels like, for more than 3 years.
Yeah, I think Minnesota's a great example of what you're saying. They had a great situation, and they're going to have to pick and choose from their guys that they found on their own. They drafted all these guys. They drafted Alexander Walker. They drafted Cat, who became a casualty of that. They found Naz Reid, and they're going to have to pick and choose because guys are worth more than they can technically give them. And it's frustrating in that sense. I think in the sense of we're not allowing super teams to be here. We're not allowing Kevin and LeBron and Steph to team up or whatever. I think it's bad in that sense, too. I've long been a component of super team proponent. It makes the league more fun. We need a villain. Who's our villain right now in the NBA? We don't really have anybody unless you just have like this inherent bias against such and such player or whatever. We don't have that team that it just matters every night when they play. Even now, we're looking at the two number one seeds. We're like, man, Boston could take them. The Lakers could get them. The Warriors could get them on the right night. We're not even threatened by those teams. Like, I'm pro super team. I'm pro like super villain, because when that 17-18 Warriors team played, it was prime time every game. It was an event every game. And same thing for the Cavs, same thing for the Heat, same thing to the Pick 3 Celtics. We go on and on and back. Kobe and Shaq, it was prime time every game. So I'm for that. And the players and the teams that are smart enough to collect that much talent, that's a hat tip to them. They don't always win either. So, like, I'm for it. I get we're trying to level the playing field, but the dirty secret about sports is parity isn't all that fun. We need one or two really great teams and everybody else trying to beat them, and that's fun. So that's just me. I might be the bad guy, and I know one of my best friends is like the league ruiner, but it was fun rooting against him too.
And is it like you think that's the direction of the league? Like the super team era is over and we're going to see more Cleveland's, right? We're going to see more teams like Oklahoma City, teams that are built with younger guys. You know, general managers now are maybe more at a premium than they've ever been. It's not just cap navigation anymore. It's like you've got to land the right talent, and you've got to land the right talent with your maybe single superstar as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, the dirty flip side of that is you're going to have to tank to do it. In order to be the Thunder now, we have to be bad for 3-4 years, and we had to get lucky with a trade. And that fell in their lap, that Kawhi wanted PG, and then the best they could do was Shea and all these picks. So we're going to have to do that. Or Houston was bad for 3 years, and now they're solid. They've hit on some picks. They've signed some vets. Cavs are a great example where they were bad for quite some time after LeBron left. Hit on some picks, hit on their big trade when they were able to get Donovan. And again, that fell into their lap too, because everybody in the league had Donovan on the Knicks and it was just over.
That's but one the of the best examples though right there, Eddie, I think is the Cleveland one, because you brought up Houston and you brought up Oklahoma City. Houston had Paul George and Russell Westbrook to trade. They had built a team that they thought was a strong playoff contender. Houston had James Harden. You had top tier talent that you were able to move to a meet.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed, because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Immediately kind of boost what you were trying to do. Cleveland was the one.
You go get Jarrett when you do with the Nets. But the thing is for them, now they have to pay these guys too. Yeah. Now they're looking at Evan Mobley like, man, if you make an All-NBA team in the next couple years, I don't know that you're worth that much money. You know, they're looking at Darius Garland and saying, okay, what do? We just paid Donovan. The word all summer, last summer was, well, if you guys are paying Donovan, DG wants out because there's not enough room for both of them, and he got to get paid too. And you know how Clutch does. Yeah. And now the word going forward is going to be the same thing. But you got to worry about Evan's contract. You got to worry about Jarrett's contract. And then you're going to have to pay Garland at some point. So it's tough. You cobble this great team together. This team should be great for the league. It is a fun team to watch. And then we only get to last for so long. And now what? You got to figure out what to do. I think that's maybe the unintended consequence. We have these great teams that we actually did the right way. We did the way you say we're supposed to within these restrictions. But we can't actually keep them together because of the rules you put in place now. And so now what?
Yeah. And even then, because people, when you laid out those scenarios, people think it's just tanking and through the draft. All those scenarios that you laid out had the tanking element and this super fortunate trade. Yep. Like Cleveland was somehow fortunate to get Jared Allen and Donovan Mitchell through trade. OKC, we've laid that out a number of different times. They were fortunate to get SGA. So, yeah, you got your Chet Holmgren's there. You got your Evan Mobley's there. But you need that, and you need just randomly for some superstar to be disgruntled and ready to leave and them to, like, be able to be traded to your team. It's simple when you try to put it out there, but it is kind of a complicated formula to get to where these teams are today.
Yeah, and then you go back to the point we started this conversation with too. Devin Booker's 28 years old right now. Shea was 21 when he got traded. Donovan Mitchell was, I think, 25 when he got traded. So not only do you need this disgruntled guy who's trying to get out of town or a team who's going in a different direction, you also need to be young. We can't go get you to add you to this equation in this timeline and you're 36 years old like Evan Durant.
Yeah.
Like, we have to be in a certain place, and you don't have that 10-year salary yet, and you don't have this, and all these. So it literally has to fall in your lap, kind of like the Lakers. You know, kind of like something like that would happen. And it's tough. You're banking on that. But, I mean, you're banking on the same thing if you're tanking every year and say, oh, we're going to hit in the draft, and hopefully we're number one, and hopefully get Cooper Flag, hopefully we can do this. You know, there's different ways to put a team together. Teams are going to have to find new ways now within the restrictions here. Yeah. I think it's what you mentioned. How do we keep them together on the back end? And I don't know that there's a real great answer to that.
This all boils down to Kevin Durant playing for the Kings next year. That's what this
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
Trying to get Eddie to work on that. He's shading Kings fans on Twitter. I saw that. Come on, man.
I had to do that. And look, y'all proved me right because nobody said nothing. It was one guy who said one thing, and that was it. And I just let it be.
Nah, I'm gonna let you.
I mean, it's gonna be a lot of offers for Kevin in this summer, and the way people were talking about it, like he is just for sure being traded. It's interesting. I keep throwing lighter fluid on the Celtics fire, and it just so happened this week the sale happens. But a lot of people are wondering what a team like that does when you have the previous ownership saying, hey, we got to get under the tax, essentially, but we trust Brad to do it. And then you look at that roster and you're like, some big contracts over there. Mm-hmm. You wonder what a team like that is going to do. But look, I don't know where KD is going. We on this push for the 7th seed right now. I like our chances because we might get up to 8 and then, you know, go from there. And then we'll see, man. We'll see.
Yeah, okay.
I hate if it happens that way and then we got to push Shaq out. But, you know.
Right now, it feels like the Kings are the only team they can beat. So I don't think they're getting to the 7th seed. Bulls. Other than
what's
that,
the issue?
they
what's
can't.
The issue there, man? I know y'all been talking about it. But like, I watched the game last night, and it's like they're a competitive bunch. They're in these games, and they just seem to have these bad stretches. I know on the broadcast, he had mentioned like, oh, he felt like the Monk tech kind of swung things, and then Kobe White
swing anything, man. The game.
When Kobe White is Kyrie on you for 12 minutes.
The game had already swung before the Malik text. That's whack. Malik got the text because he knew though. He was like, we're losing control of this game right now. Hell, they might have lost control of the game by that point.
Yeah, it's just.
It's not a thing. It's a variety of things that are wrong.
Domas out for some time now too.
Probably I think he'll be reevaluated in about a week from now. I think he'll be reevaluated in about a week. But he's not going to play versus Milwaukee, Oklahoma City. He's not going to play versus Boston. He's not going to play versus Portland. I don't think he's going to play versus Orlando, but that's where we'll start paying attention when they hit the road for Orlando.
And then you got this other situation where something's going on with Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine has like a combined, I'm just throwing them, it's not completely accurate, but probably a combined 30 shot attempts in the last week and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, come on. Like, he's got games where he's just not shooting the ball. And I think it's something personal going on with him. That's why we just kind of fall back a little bit. But, yeah, it's, when he's out there, he's still not producing.
Yeah, I know he had a baby recently. I know they mentioned on the broadcast yesterday, too. He's still – so when guys get traded, for those who don't know, the team, since he has to give you lodging, give you a hotel, nice Airbnb, whatever it is, say he's staying in that. He hasn't got a spot. And who knows? You guys, there might be a month left in the season. But it kind of caught my eye, like, been there for a month, buddy. Maybe get a spot, you know? Fam comes, whatever.
I mean, I don't blame him.
So again, I don't want to speculate, but I did notice that, too. Just a little more passive. Even when they played the Suns, it was just like, you know, it seems like a team that's still trying to figure it out. And they've had so much change within this season, you get that. But it's like, yeah, they're running out of time to figure it out.
Yeah, that's the toughest part is you're not going to have any more time. Like, we stopped evaluating this team as like a whole. Like, you just can't do that anymore. Like, they beat Cleveland the other night. Domas was out of that game, obviously. Zach LaVine and Jake LaRavia were late scratches. Obviously, Zach LaVine is the starter. Jake LaRavia is in rotation, and they managed to beat Cleveland. You have to evaluate that game standalone because trying to carry it over and think, oh, this team's doing some good things after beating Cleveland, Memphis is going to wind you up heartbroken because you lose to Chicago. Now you have to evaluate the Chicago game like in a in a microwave. You have to evaluate it by itself and go, well, I hope they play better versus Milwaukee on Saturday, because it just seems like you said there have been so many different versions of the same season, all clumped them into one, and they're trying to figure it out. They're trying to get things going right. Every time you think that they do, you're reminded that maybe they're not, and you're just hoping that they could correct them in time before they lose 2, 3, 4 more games and wind up like as this whole thing started with, wind up with that game on the last day of the year against Phoenix being for everything.
And what I would say to Kings fans is kind of like the same thing I've been saying to Suns fans as well. This team cares. Like, these guys are frustrated. They're trying to figure it out. Like, there's been a lot of questioning of kind of that in Phoenix. And I'm like, man, I'm talking to some of these dudes, and they're more mad than you. You know what I mean? Like, they want it to be better. They're giving it a go. There's limitations. There's frustrations. There's all kinds of things. These guys care. They're trying to figure it out. But a lot of times it's not that simple. A lot of times it's not just – they're dealing with injuries. They're dealing with a new coach. They've had huge trades in the middle of the season. Their rotation is constantly changing. And, yeah, it's a frustrating watch as a fan. And you might get to the point where it's like, man, do they even need to make the plan? Because then that's another frustrating game we're going to watch. And then we're going to get to the all season. But them dudes care. And they out there trying to win games. It's just sometimes Kobe White goes crazy. And he's Kyrie on you. And Kobe is nice. Don't get me wrong. Man. He is nice. And he's one of the more underrated guys in the league. But a team kind of catches fire on you like that. Well, you're frustrated too. It snowballed just like it did last night. It was tough to watch.
Yeah.
I was sneaking in my Bronny minutes as well, but it was tough to watch.
Yeah. Let me get you out of here on just another kind of maybe random NBA note. We were having a discussion earlier about the Clippers, and I was wrong about them at the beginning of the season. I was like, these guys, 11 seed, maybe, you know, they battling for 10, but they're cooked. James has been so much better than I thought he would be this year. Norman Powell, who I liked as a ball player, has elevated his game a level. Zubac has played well. Now Kawhi's back, and he's starting to look good. Bogey's there. He's starting to play well. How good do you think the Clippers could be if they were able to get in the playoffs?
Man, there's something to be said just about a bunch of adults in the room. And that's what I see when I look at the Clippers. Even somebody like Chris Dunn, who has been well-traveled, his top five pick, but is just a veteran of basketball. And at the end of the day, the head of the snake is James. James has been great all year long. He's been a deserving all-star. He keeps that offense afloat. He's been average enough defensively that their other defensive wings can really pick them up. And he's took Zubac up to another level. And we look back at the Zubac trade, and he got traded for peanuts, like literal peanuts. He got traded for, I forget the big fella's name, who was supposed to be a stretch five, wasn't that great, and Michael Beasley. And now look at Zubac. He's like a top five center in his league right now. Mm-hmm. Like he's like that. And obviously having James Harden helps, because he loves nothing more than a center he can toss the ball to for an easy assist. It's scary. I don't know if I call him championship scary. Stephen A. Smith went on his rant this week about I got to see it from Kawhi. I would say it a little softer, but I would say the same thing. Like, I can't call him, if he's healthy, Kawhi, until he's actually healthy. But they are scary. And, again, there's a lot to be said about a bunch of adults in the room. And a lot of the noise about, we're not worried about the youngins in OKC. We feel like we could beat them in a seven-game series. That's kind of what tests that. That veteran kind of know-how, the fact that we can clamp down on defense. And, look, man, James has been great, man. James has been great. At the end of the day, he's a worthy all-star this year. I'm really happy he made it. Did not think I would see another 50 ball from James, and we saw one this year. So it's like, you at some point, you got to salute. He could be a little chubby and still get his game off. He just be a big guard, I guess.
Big guard.
Big guard.
Eddie, we appreciate you, bro. Love this time every week, man. Thank you.
Hey, man, shout out Bronny, man. I'm excited for Bronny, my new favorite player, man. Appreciate talking to you.
You getting your Bronny jersey?
I might have to get one, man. Number 9, maybe the white one. I don't know.
There you go. There you go. We appreciate you, bro. Thank you, as always. So, man, Eddie.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.